Not yet. Hold it. Hold it. Wait. Wait. I really hate it when I miss time things. You know what?
I was going to say, did you go early today?
I did. Okay. It's 9:30. It's KCIM Sports Rewind for all those folks that love to tune in just at 9:30.
Yes.
For this next half hour of, well, our support group that gets together once a week. I don't know what else you call it. So, it's Jeff, it's Mason, it's John with you here on KCIM Sports Rewind today. Of course, a great day. It's the day I get to sit at my desk with my headphones on and pretend like I'm working, but actually, I'm watching baseball and listening to it. Baseball playoffs going on today. I love this time of year.
It is fun. I love the playoffs. It just means that baseball's getting closer to being over, though.
Yeah, you know? That's true. So, well, yeah. Baseball for Mason ended about opening day after. You're a White Sox fan, right?
Ended a lot sooner than that.
It ended in spring training, I'm assuming, right?
Probably the season before, if not since I was born. The White Sox haven't been very good.
Well, they did win one World Series this millennium. Right,
I think that was the year I was born.
Was it?
I'm pretty sure it was the year I was born.
Since then, not so much going on there. But the Twins firing Rocco Baldelli yesterday.
Yep.
I saw that one coming.
Did you?
That's pretty much a gimme. I mean, 7 years, your team's underperformed every year. And they put some money into it for a couple of years there and just never got the results out that they wanted to. And so, yeah, I mean, time for a change.
Didn't he win the division like 4 or 5 times, though?
He won the division a couple times. Couple of years, they finished some of the worst records in baseball, however.
Yep.
So,
yep.
But they did trade away 10 players on him at the deadline this year. So, I mean, he was not a bad manager. Finishes with an overall winning record. But, yeah, you know, every once in a while, a franchise just needs a change. And I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, agreed. They're back when they were having some really good success, didn't they? Always seem to run into the Yankees or whatever in the first round and couldn't get past them.
They did beat the Yankees one year.
Yeah.
A couple of years back they did when they got Carlos Correa, I think one of the first years they had him. They did kind of end that curse a little bit. They won a playoff series, but still, just, team never did perform up to the expectations, I think, that everybody thought. So anyway, so there's going to be first of many managerial openings in baseball, I think.
Yeah, San Francisco, Texas, along with Minnesota are all open now, right? If I remember correctly.
Yep.
So
we got all those to go. Let's do a little predicting here. Wild card round going on today. Tigers at the Guardians. Tigers just coughed up a 15.5 game lead to the Guardians to lose the division, barely get into the playoffs. Do they bounce back, Mason?
Yeah, I think so. I think once you get to the playoffs, it becomes a different atmosphere for every team.
Yeah, you know, I'm sitting here kind of going, you know, sometimes a team gets hot like Cleveland, and then, you know, they get into the postseason and they fall off, or they stay. I'm gonna predict Cleveland continues to play as well as they did down the stretch, and I'm going to go with the Guardians.
I'm going to go with the Guardians as well. Detroit, just their young team. They've got great talent, some really good pitching.
Yep.
If that pitching shows up, they've got a chance. If it doesn't, they're done.
Right.
Cubs-Padres, that's an interesting one going on. The star power of the Padres, those ugly brown uniforms, and taking on the Chicago Cubs at Wrigley. What do you think?
I'm going to go with the Cubs. There's just something about San Diego. I like them, but there's something about them. You talk about Minnesota underachieving. I think San Diego, with all that star power, underachieves all the time, and I think they'll do it again.
Mason?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the best way to say it there. I haven't watched too much baseball, but every time I've watched it, you know, I look at the Padres and say they got all these big names, and then they're not contending for a lot.
Yeah, I believe the Cubs take them out. It might go 3. I wouldn't be shocked about that. Red Sox-Yankees, is there a way we can kick both teams out of the playoffs right now and just get rid of them?
Yeah, but I'm going to pull for the Red Sox really, really hard. I'm just not a Yankee guy. I don't like the Red Sox either, but you know the level of dislike, is there's a pretty big gap there for me. So
Mason?
I think the Yankees will pull that one out.
Yeah, I think the Yankees eventually pull it out too. They are the home team in that 3-game series. And finally, Jeff Blankman's Cincinnati Reds at the L.A. Dodgers. Mason, do the Reds win a game?
Hopefully. I've not been a big Dodgers guy, just because I feel like, you know, they spend so much money and it almost becomes that every player that eventually ends up being good goes to the Dodgers. So I hope that the Reds can pull it out.
And
it sounds like what the Yankees used to do and still do a little bit of. I don't think the Reds, they backed into the playoffs. I know they made a nice run, but if the Mets wouldn't have collapsed and then if the Mets would have won on Sunday, you know, the Reds wouldn't have even made it into the postseason. So as much of a Cincinnati fan as I am, I think the Dodgers take them in two.
Realistic,
yes.
Reds fans, yes. Going on there. And, I mean, they've made some right nice moves.
They have.
Heading in the right direction, but not there yet.
Yeah, and I love the manager. That was probably the best move they've made in a long time. You get a guy in that's a proven winner everywhere he goes. So,
all right, you ready for your trivia question? It's about baseball.
That wasn't trivia.
No, that wasn't the trivia. That was just picking the winners of the series so far. So, how many no hitters were thrown in the 2025 Major League Baseball season?
Zero.
Zero. Correct.
I saw it on TikTok this morning.
When is the last time that happened in Major League Baseball? There was
no hitters.
It's been a hot minute.
I was going to say, yeah, I can't recall. Because back when we grew up, there was always good pitching.
Yeah, there was always a no-hitter or two or three, and some seasons had five or six of them.
Yeah.
2005
really
was the last time season with no hitters.
About the time Mason was born.
Yeah, well, it was a year after. So,
so there you go. There's a wrap up on the baseball season that's starting about noon today. 12:08 is first pitch for the Tigers at Guardians. Cubs start right here on KCIM. 1:30 pregame. 2:08 is our first pitch time. Yankees and Red Sox start at 5:08 our time, and then 8:00 tonight. Reds and Dodgers. So, there you go. Baseball playoffs happening. Football. Any big news going on there? Pro football, college football? What were your takeaways from the weekend?
Nice win for Iowa State.
Great win, I thought.
Yep. I think Iowa fans, I know Mason's going to tell you about the field goal, but the fact that Indiana just demolished Illinois the week before and Iowa has a chance to win, I think it's got to be a positive for the Hawkeyes.
I watched zero of the Iowa-Indiana game.
Yeah. The Penn State-Oregon game, I get that James Franklin doesn't seem to win a lot of matchups against ranked opponents, and especially highly ranked opponents, but for some reason I just don't understand how you drop from number two or number three as far as they fell, losing in double overtime to another top five ranked team. I know it was home, but it's that whole, it's that whole disrespect that Penn State gets because of James Franklin sometimes, and not because of the quality of a football team they are, but I thought that was a heck of a football game.
It was. I saw some of the end of that one. Your takeaways, Mason?
Yeah, like Jeff said, I mean, the Hawkeyes played pretty well. I'm not happy about missing a field goal wide left and then giving up the win. I'm just going to not look to my right here and see him celebrating. But I think, for college football, that was there. And then for the Bears, it was nice to see that we win because of a field goal that doesn't go in. So I was kind of on both ends of the spectrum there.
Yeah, Iowa State, I tell you what, they looked impressive on Saturday night. That, I mean, it was a whiteout game for them. But Arizona just, they actually, I think, almost outgained Iowa State, I think, in the game, if I remember correctly. But boy, their defense just, couldn't stop the big play and totally botched that 2-point conversion at the very beginning of the game. They looked like they hadn't seen that all year.
Right.
That's what Iowa State does.
Well, and Arizona State was not supposed to be real strong coming in. They were one of the worst teams as far as projections coming into the league, for the preseason. And I think it was because of their defense, and their defense might have kind of shown up, as poorly as what everybody thought it might be before the season and started. But yeah, huge win. I did not know this. First time in like 28 games that Rocco didn't throw a touchdown pass. So
yeah, that's right. He ran for a couple.
Yeah, just but didn't have a touchdown pass. Yeah, and I think if I understood correctly, and I didn't get to watch the game, that he had two or three what looked like touchdown passes that were overruled and said that the guy had been down at the 1 yard line or inside the 1 yard line. So just missed it by a fraction to keep that going. So
yeah, the one I thought was a good call, but I thought the other one probably was the correct call, but it was very, very close as he was falling. And I thought he got into the end zone on the first look at it.
Right.
Who knows? But anyway, Iowa State racking up some injuries again in the second half, so we'll see how they do. They got a road trip to Cincinnati, which doesn't sound hard, but I think it's going to be a little harder than people think.
Yeah, their only loss was that early season, that first loss of the year down in Kansas City to Nebraska, so Cincinnati's been playing pretty well since then, and I thought played pretty well that night, so it'll be a challenge.
For sure. That's, again, Saturday morning about 9 a.m. here on KCIM. So we're going to talk a little high school football. It was homecoming week for the Carroll Tigers. Macy, you were describing the cardiac finish to that ball game. So tell us about that.
So, I mean, it was probably just a misunderstanding between Coach Roeder and their quarterback, Camden King. He just told him, Coach Rowe, what I was described is that he told him to run out of the end zone and run in the end zone to make sure that you guys are, you know, getting the safety and then just punt it away. But Camden kind of ran back and then turned it back inside after going outside and then kind of tripped around the 3-yard line-ish and then turned it back up. And fortunately, the clock ran out by the time that he was back and turning up. But, I mean, a nice win for Carroll there. You know, a lot of people thought Harlan was going to be the number one team in that district. If you go and beat them now, I think that, you know, you just got to beat a couple more teams and you guys can win the district there.
Yeah, get by Greene County on the road, which is not going to be an easy task this weekend. Greene County's been playing really, really well so far this season. But I think the district championship probably decided over in Jefferson coming up on Friday night with Carroll. But what a win for them in that game to be able to, pick up, the win against Harlan and kind of hold on in that game, because there was times where it looked like they were going to really dominate that game and completely take control. But, I was sitting back here in KCIM getting ready for the scoreboard show that night and updating the website with scores, and Todd Danner was in here as well. And we just kept kind of saying, as Harlan was making their comeback, that it's like, yeah, there's Harlan. That's what Harlan mm-hmm. always seems to do. So.
Yeah, I just felt like, Harlan didn't particularly control their offensive game or control the defensive game, but I felt like Harlan controlled what was kind of the big plays of the game. They had a lot of deep, 60-yard bombs over the top, or like a 50-yard dump-off pass or running back that he'd take it down the field. I didn't think that they particularly played really well until the end of the game, when that kind of 2-minute drill they ran where they got down the field with a defensive PI and then threw the back shoulder fade ball to the tight end in the back of the end zone for the touchdown. I thought that was probably their best offensive possession.
What does Carroll do from here? They've had a rough schedule so far. They've had a hard, tough testing schedule so far. What's it like going forward?
It's a challenge this week. They'll go to Greene County, but then, if you look at the rest of the way they get Creston Atlantic and Perry to wind down the regular season, and not to take anything away from those teams, but those look like the three bottom teams probably in the district. So I would say they get through this week. As long as they go out and take care of business, they mm-hmm. should go undefeated the rest of the way if they can get past Greene County coming up on Friday night, because it'll be probably the three easiest games. If you just look at record and opponents that those teams have played, it looks like it'll be the three easiest games on their schedule to close out the regular season.
And of those three, probably Atlantic?
Atlantic is probably the toughest of those three. I think they're sitting 3-2 on the season right now. So
Carroll Tigers win on homecoming day, a big test coming up this week. Kemper, they continue just to roll undefeated, 5-0 on the season.
Yeah, slow start a little bit for that game. I know Griffin Glenn caught a long touchdown pass late in the first quarter to kind of get them on the board, and then they erupted for 21 in the second quarter. Almost had a chance to make it a 35-point game at halftime, but got that early in the third quarter and just kind of rolled from there. Their offense continues to be fantastic. Brock Bading had a big game. Jaron Hoffman had a big game. A lot of receivers. Brayton Alford continues to play really well on both sides of the football for them. Made some special plays for them defensively. So, yeah, there doesn't appear to be a weakness for them. And the Iowa High School Athletic Association released their first rankings yesterday, and I don't think to anybody's surprise that Kemper clearly sitting as the number one team there in the ranking. So the one team that I wonder about, and they're not in this area, and that is Prairie City Monroe. They're a traditional kind of a power in that class, and they're sitting at number two. But I look through those rankings, and I think Kemper's got to feel really, really good about their chances this season. So
yeah, number one, no doubt about it, in Class 2A. The other ranked team we have, number 5, Audubon. How did they fare on Friday night?
Well, as kind of anticipated, I just think the rankings, to me, I get it, but at the same time, they don't make sense. You get punished because of preseason thoughts on a team, and Audubon graduated so much from last year, but nobody realized besides the people that follow them and the coaches and the people down there, that their freshman class was absolutely loaded. So was their junior class. So now you've got a really talented sophomore class that filled in those gaps. You got a really talented junior class. I think this team's as good as any team in the state, but because they started the season outside of the rankings and have had to kind of crawl their way into being noticed, I don't understand how they're number five in those first polls.
I was going to say, you're trying to tell me that number five is too low.
I think so. And I'm probably biased. I will admit I'm probably biased because it's one of the teams I covered. But I just, the way they're demolishing teams, they got a win over a Fremont Mills team that, had handled pretty much everybody besides Woodbine, who also deserves to be in the top five and is at number two. I just think that, Audubon is a little bit underrated, with this first poll that came out.
So. Yeah, you talked to Sean Burks this morning, didn't you, Mason?
Yeah, I talked to Sean this morning.
Did he mention any? I assume he didn't mention anything about any rankings, nothing like that.
No, he just had glanced over where he thought that some teams were, and, he said that the Fremont Mills team that they've played Waco, which is a good team. Cam was undefeated at the time that they played him. Woodbine's a top five team, and they played Boyer Valley, who is probably, he said, top 12, if not top 20, and then they play Audubon. So that Fremont Mills team's no pushover when they have those two losses, of course, to the number two team and the number five team. But, I think that Audubon does not get a lot of the respect that some of the other teams. I think Audubon could probably play with Woodbine. I think Audubon could play with a lot of those teams in that class, and they've been impressive so far. I haven't seen them in person, but from just the eye test of looking at stats and hearing the games and everything, they look very impressive.
Yeah, and I'm not taking a thing away from Woodbine. They're flat loaded this year, and I think they run away with a tough district. But those two met last year, and I know it was a season ago, but those two met in the postseason a year ago, and Audubon manhandled them and won that game pretty handily. So if you take into account, how good Woodbine was a year ago and that they didn't match up well against Audubon, I think that Audubon just deserved. And that's not, like I said, I think Woodbine's a top five team. I just think Audubon deserves to be in the top five and not sitting at number five.
As I say, with Woodbine at two, you just know they're on a collision course somewhere.
Yep. I'm hoping it's not until the dome.
Yep. Unfortunately, given the geographic locations, I think it may be.
Yeah, especially if Audubon doesn't jump into the top four.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to talk about some of the other teams and some of the other headlines, but let's get to our sack of the game here from Market on 30. Congratulations to this week's winner. It is Chris Wernsman from Coon Rapids.
Good morning, all student-athlete parents. Don't let your hectic schedules keep you from feeding your family. The Market on 30 can help you with quick and easy options like Pasquale's Pizzas, our famous mac and cheese, chicken strips, and much more. The Market on 30 in the BP Plaza.
Chris Wernsman of Coon Rapids, congratulations, sack of the game winner. If you want to win a free sack of groceries from Market on 30, just get there, sign up. And who had our sack of the game this week?
It was Gavin Holt from the Carroll Tigers, of course. Mason, you got a chance to call that game, and Gavin seems to step up and play big every single week.
Yeah, I mean, when I talked to Jerry Fleischer in the booth there, we both said it. We look out there, Gavin Holt, and you go, he just looks like a man amongst boys out there. I mean, very big kid, very fast kid, and they put him in the backfield at one point too, so you can tell that, he's just one of those guys that's going to go out there and make plays on the defensive end of the ball.
So congratulations to Chris Wernsman for the sack of the game winner. How about the rest of the field in this last week in high school football?
Well, thriller down in Coon Rapids as the Crusaders hold on to beat Arweva, who made a push in the fourth quarter and got themselves back into the game. And Ethan Bauer had a tremendous game. You just said, what, eighth most?
Rushed for the eighth most yards in an eight-man game ever. I think I just saw it on Bound last night is that they'd posted a stat line of him, and they're like, congratulations to Ethan Bauer for rushing for the eighth most yards, and they listed off all the other guys that are above him, but he slots into eight there. So an impressive game from him.
Yeah, and the one that jumps out, as I said, I was kind of back here, getting ready for the scoreboard show, and I walked into KKRL to see how that game was going at one point, and I hear KC Miners on the call, and Arweva gets stopped at the one. Going for it on fourth down in the very next play. It was just mainly, Ethan Bauer on the handoff. He's gone. 79 yards for the touchdown, untouched. It must have been a pretty good hole. And he's one of those backs that he can run away from you, but he'd prefer to run you over, but when there's nobody in front of him, he's got the speed to be able to run away from people, and sounds like that's what he did on that play.
Everybody's selling out to stop the run in that last-second desperation, and then you wind up giving up the big play the other way.
Yep, absolutely. But, yeah, what was it, 415 yards rushing and stuff on the night. So, yeah, what a big game for him. Elsewhere that night, you also had Glidden Ralston had a heck of an effort in their game, ended up just short, led that game into the fourth quarter before falling to Cam 54-46. Also, IKM Manning, a big win for them. They knocked off Akron Westfield 35-8. I just talked with Corey McCarville here this morning as well, and we were chatting about, their conference or their district schedule. It looks like five teams have really separated themselves from everybody else. They go to Loma this week. They'll have played Woodbury Central, Akron Westfield, Loma, and I'm trying to think of the other one off the top of my head right now. But the top four teams, St. Albert. The other four teams battling with them for those playoff berths, they open up with those four teams. So their district schedule has kind of been tough. They'll close out with the two teams at the bottom of the district after this. But another big challenge with Loma coming up. But that's a big win because Akron Westfield was undefeated in the district. They were sitting 3-1 going into that game. So that's a huge win for them to get right back into the postseason hunt.
Yeah, from what I had said, I had thought that, if IKM Manning loses that game to Akron Westfield, their playoff chances really diminish. And I felt like, it makes it a really hard path to get to the playoffs. But with them beating Akron now, if you can go beat Loma this week, I think their playoff chances jump up dramatically.
And then ESAC County gets a nice win over South Hamilton. That gives them their first district win of the season. Actually, their second district win of the season. So they're playing pretty good ball right now. They'll go into South Central Calhoun on Friday night. I get the opportunity to do that. But the offense kind of got rolling early, and they played really well. And then South Central Calhoun, our other game, they hosted Emmitsburg, who's the district favorite, and had a chance to win that game. So I think Coach Case was happy with the way his team played. 27 points on the night offensively kind of says that they're kind of beginning to get things going a little bit.
All right, so as we sit here in the football season, what is this, week number six
week
coming up?
Week six coming up, yeah.
Where are we standing as far as teams looking good for the playoffs?
I think you can get two out of that district for eight-man. I think IKM Manning has a chance. I think South Central has a chance. Almost all of our teams still have a chance to get into the postseason here if they can just play good down the stretch.
Yeah, IKM Manning's going to have to win probably this week or hope that Akron Westfield loses their last few games to be able to get in that four spot. So they're going to have to play well. South Central will have a chance. The winner, actually, between ESAC and South Central is going to have a chance to get in. Like Mason said, we have four teams in one district. They only take two, and then they you get some byes. But I would say Coon and Audubon got to feel pretty good about where they're sitting right now. We'll learn a lot more about Coon Rapids Baird coming up this weekend. They go to number two Woodbine, so we'll see if they can knock them off or push them. That means that Audubon game that we're going to be doing later on is probably going to be for the district title.
Yeah, I talked to head coach Nathan Lindsay yesterday, and I go, what a brutal middle part of your schedule when you go to Woodbine and then have to play Audubon the week after. So you're playing two top five teams. And he goes, we're going to learn really quick what we're made of in 2 weeks here. If we go 0-2, or if we go 2-0, or split two games. And I think for Coon Rapids, you gotta feel pretty good after that week that Ethan Bauer had to be able to go in there and say, we might have a chance with both of these teams.
Yeah, I think we're looking at probably out of the nine schools, probably about five or six of them making it to the postseason this year, so that will not be too bad. So
three games to go for a lot of our teams. Carroll's got four left, and that's it for the football.
It's
crazy that we've gotten this far into the football season.
It's amazing how fast the season goes, that's for sure.
All right, so that kind of encapsulates week five in high school football. We're going to be back to talk more in Sports Rewind coming up next. Sports Rewind brought to you exclusively by St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
Road again. just can't wait to get on the road again.
You know, speaking of Nick Brinks,
yes.
Our Ames correspondent with KCIM Sports Rewind.
Yeah, and he's probably
he's
going to
be
road.
On the road.
Yeah.
Shockingly enough, he'll be getting some quality windshield time. Traveling to Peyton Sherdan coming up for volleyball on Thursday. And then Nick is coming to town.
He
to
is.
Broadcast his alma mater, the Kemper Knights, taking on Spirit Lake Friday night.
Yeah, I kind of joked that him and Doug, you know, Doug Waniger does pretty much all of the Kemper games for color commentating, but they're attached at the hip this year. I think this is the fourth game out of the first six that Kemper will play that Nick and Doug, you know, or at least Nick will be broadcasting. I know Doug wasn't able to make the OABCIG game, if I remember
right. That game was me and Tom.
Yeah, that game, Doug's daughter Anna got married, so congratulations to her, and then he's actually going to be out of the state this Friday night. So we'll either have Nate Graving or Randy Snyder, the way it sounds, maybe potentially filling in and taking Doug's role. But yeah, for Nick, he gets to come home for once, you know, back to his hometown anyway.
Back to his old stomping grounds. And by the way, Dan Pomeroy was in the booth with you on Friday night. Not broadcasting, but he was observing other things. But did he bring you some licorice? That's what I want to know.
I did not have any licorice.
No.
He just brought the knowledge of the game to me.
No Wallabies licorice?
I'm sure he probably did. Mason just probably, you know, nibbled on it throughout the game and there wasn't any left. So.
Yeah, you just didn't want to share.
He always brings this really good licorice.
I didn't see any, so I don't know if I was too focused on the game.
Especially the black licorice.
Yes.
Good stuff going
yes.
on there.
Yes, and I'm a red licorice guy, but we appreciate Dan. But I want to mention some cross country here, John, before we run out of time. Kemper boys were down at Harlan over the weekend. Dayton Wiederen continues to run extremely well for them. He finished up in eighth place that day. And then I got to give a shout out to the East Sac boys. They've been really dominant. They win almost every meet they're at. They won last night up at Alta Aurelia, winning by almost 30 points. And again, three guys in the top 10 for them, with Landon Spohr in third, Riley Aragon in fourth, and Owen Engel in seventh. I know we don't always probably spend as much time chatting about, you know, cross country as we do some of the other sports, but they've been really, really good this year, and it's a special group up there running right now. And then, as I mentioned, Dayton Weeder and really, really running well right now for Kemper, and so is Fletch Bating. So
I was going to say, ESAC has just been cruising through the season and things. I mean, what years are these kids? Are
most of them seniors. They've got a couple of young guys.
They're making their push.
But they're making their push this year. I think that was their fourth, maybe fifth, but fourth win for sure at a cross-country meet this year as a team. So that's that tells you where this team's at so far on this season. So.
Dominant team. Let's talk a little volleyball. I got Ballard at Carroll tonight and Kemper on the road at Glenwood. A couple of great matchups. And you've got two regional teams on tonight.
Yeah, I'll have Glidden-Ralston and Arweva coming up from Westside. We'll also have that on our video, so you can listen to it on Kick 106.7 tonight, or watch and listen to it on the CB Sports Network YouTube channel. Arweva picked up another set win over at the Bowyer Valley tournament this weekend, and played really well on the final two sets against Exira the other night. So I think that'll be a really good matchup. You mentioned Kemper Glenwood. That should be a fun game down there. I think Kemper comes out of that one, but Glenwood, especially down there, is always tough. And then Carroll gets Ballard. Ballard comes in ranked, but I think the Tigers are going to look to bounce back. They went over to the Nevada tournament this weekend, and I know this Nevada tournament, it's not the first time that they've done that on homecoming weekend. And it typically, when it matches up with homecoming, doesn't go well, and it didn't go well for them over there Saturday, so they'll look to bounce back. IK Manning played it really well over at the Bowyer Valley tournament on Saturday, finished up in second place, losing only to Missouri Valley, who wanted a team that they had beaten a couple of weeks ago in the regular season. So when I talked with Coach Cron that night about it, she's like, well, I'd rather lose to them in the Bowyer Valley tournament than in the conference tournament or, you know, somewhere else down the line. So that and they played well against them. And then Audubon finished up third, their only two losses to Missouri Valley and to IK Manning in that tournament. And ESAC played well up at HMS tournament. They won their pool and got knocked out in the semifinals by Rock Valley. So some pretty good performances over the weekend from some of our volleyball teams.
Charlotte Schwabe at the state tennis tournament this week, right?
Yeah, she's going to be there Wednesday. I think she opens up. I can't remember her exact opponent right away, but I mean, I'm looking to see if she can get through that first round there, maybe make a push towards the finals, but had a really impressive season so far. She was ranked to start the season in the top 10, jumped all the way up to 4 if I'm not mistaken there, and then, you know, just kind of cruise from there. Only had, what, two losses on the season, I believe?
Yep, just two losses. And I will do my best. I apologize ahead of time. The young ladies from Fairfield, that she's going to be playing in the opening round.
I looked at the name, and I'm leaving it to you guys.
Yeah, I'm going to do my best. Pujita Mukadam, I think is how it is said, if I remember right. But so should be a tough matchup. If she wins that one, more than likely she'll get a girl that she knows really well. It'll be the young lady, the Jacobs girl, Gabby from Shenandoah, is who she would find in the quarterfinals. So.
And the Carroll girls swim team, they're going to be in action tonight. One of their short road trips of the year down to Atlantic.
Yes, them and Spencer are going to be heading down there. They've had some injuries as of late. They're down to eight girls now on the season. But, you look at how well they're swimming just with those eight girls, and you can tell how talented that team is. And it's still a very young group of kids. So.
Yeah, lots of action going on as we get ready for week six of high school football. So download that sports mobile app. You just search CB Sports Network in your app store, and you got everything there first thing in the morning when you want to pull it up. That is KCIM Sports Rewind for this week. You can catch a podcast of this available at 1380kcim.com in just a couple of minutes, or pull it up on our mobile app.